Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I am drowning in troubles. I'm sinking in debt. I'm in over my head. I'm just trying to stay afloat. I'm in too deep. I'm in deep trouble. We use deep water, even today, as a way of talking about things that are scary or overwhelming or just plain too much. And it's a fruitful metaphor. It's a helpful metaphor. It's said that we know more about parts of outer space than about parts of our own planet. And when that's referring to the deepest parts of our ocean, the ocean depths that are largely unknown to us, even in our modern day and age. I was going to pull up some pictures to show you of some deep-dwelling ocean creatures and put them into the PowerPoint, and quite frankly, when I did a Google search for deep sea creatures or, you know, deep ocean dwelling creatures, the pictures were so terrifying that I couldn't imagine using them. I couldn't even look at them any longer. There's some really scary stuff, cool stuff, but some really scary stuff that lives in the deepest part of the ocean in this place. So I think we're, in a sense, conditioned to, perhaps it's a survival, biologically ingrained instinct to fear the deep water, instinct that gets played off of as we imagine sea creatures and we imagine all the movies and films that kind of try to freak us out a little bit about what's hiding in the abyss or in the waters just offshore, so the sea animals that'll come out and get you, you know. So no pictures of those today. It was scaring me too much. I just wasn't going to be able to sleep last night. In this way, we are not so different from the people of Jesus' day, the people of the Hebrew Bible as well, who used the image and the metaphor of the deep water as a way of talking about the untamed, unknowable, dangerous chaos of the world. It wasn't even really a metaphor so much as a case-in-point example of how the world around us can be dangerous and frightening and unknown and scary. Deep water is deep trouble, and no one willingly goes there, not even, or perhaps especially not, people who fish for a living, people who live and work with the water. They know the dangers of deep waters, even in a lake. I grew up near Lake Willoughby in the Northeast Kingdom, and I don't know, at least when I was a kid, they told us that no one had ever found the bottom of it, because, you know, it was such a huge lake, right? I don't know if you've ever seen Lake Willoughby. It's like this big, but it's a deep lake cut by glaciers, and it's between these mountains. And so what we were told as kids was that because the mountains made the pass so narrow, they couldn't get some of the big equipment in that would fathom the depths of Lake Willoughby. And so most likely it didn't have a bottom. It connected through to Loch Ness, and there was a monster that lived in it. And that's what they told us as kids, right? No one goes into the deep water if they can help it, and certainly not the people who know the water best. And that's exactly where Jesus calls those first disciples to go. They've been having some trouble catching fish. They've been at work all night. Now, these are people who fish for a living. They're in their element. They're doing their thing. They know how to get it done. They've been doing it all night, and they've had no success. And so Jesus tells Peter to go out into the deep water and cast the nets there, in that uncontrolled, uncontained, dangerous, unfathomable chaos. It's frightening. It's unknown. It's the danger and the depth that they always avoid. And he says, that's where you're going to find the greatest fruitfulness. So Jesus meets these disciples where they are, at home in their place in the world. He doesn't tell them to come to someplace unfamiliar to them initially. He meets them where they are, but then he immediately pushes them out into the deeper water. Instead of calling them into safety, to lives of prosperity, to infinite catches of fish and of people, he calls them to the very place they can't control, to the deep water. Before they can offer Christ the gift of their skill, the gifts of their service, their gifts as witnesses, and yes, as disciples, and as those who are going to carry on his work and his ministry with him and even after him, before they can do any of that, the first thing they have to offer him is their trust. The very first gift they have to give to Christ is their faith. They have to let go of their own control of the shallow waters that they know, and they have to trust completely in God. Now, that sounds a little bit like it might speak to our lives. We may not fish for a living, but we have deep places in our lives, places of chaos and fear, places that are unknown or worse, uncontrolled by us, perhaps uncontrolled at all. And we'd rather stay in the shallows, in the places where we feel in control. We'd rather stay where we know that the sandy bottom is just a toe touch down there, because we feel safer there. We feel in control, even when that's a complete and utter illusion. And our lives really aren't in our control, and we know that. But we like to convince ourselves that we have some measure of safety. And so, yes, we want to offer ourselves to Christ to love and serve and go and do what God calls us to do, but we like to offer that from the places where we feel pretty secure in our own control. Like the first disciples, we who would be disciples of Jesus today are called to follow Jesus. Not to a life of safety and simplicity or of smooth sailing, but to first go where we would not otherwise dare to go. To first go deeper, to the places that might frighten us, to the place where we have to be pushed just enough that we have to let go and trust. I was talking with someone a couple weeks ago. We were talking about a colleague of mine, and I were talking about the call to ministry, the call to serve God, and the call that we all receive to Christian ministry as followers of Christ, to serve and to follow. And we were talking about some of the aspects of our callings that are frightening and that are things that we don't like doing. Not like, you know, paperwork. I don't like doing paperwork or something like that, but man, it makes me uncomfortable. There are people I know who have preached for 40 years and their last sermon, their knees knock just as much as they did their first sermon. And for myself, I can almost guarantee that the very last person I visit in the hospital, I'll be just as nervous as the very first person I visited 10 years ago. Because it just makes me nervous, right? There are things that we do that we're called to do that frighten us or intimidate us, that we're not comfortable with. And we were talking about some of these things, and we kind of paused and looked at each other. I can't remember which one of us said it first, but one of us said, "And that's how you know it's a calling. It's the stuff you wouldn't do on your own. It's the stuff you would rather you never had to deal with." I've heard some of you, I've heard several of you say that the very last thing on earth you'd like to do is have a conversation with somebody else about their faith and your faith. Most awkward, painful, difficult thing in the world for some people, and yet quite often, that's what God calls us to do. Or the very last thing we might want to do is offer forgiveness to someone, or as I was saying to the kids, just take the risk of loving someone when we're not sure how they're going to treat us in return. It's how you know it's a calling. It goes against our instincts, our fear of the deep, which is ingrained in us. That's usually how we know that Christ is urging us to cast out into the deeper waters and let down our nets. So we want to offer God our whole lives. We really do. I believe that we really do. Our talents, our gifts, our service, our witness, our ministries, all that we have. But the first, and I think in many ways the greatest challenge, is to offer to God our trust, to let go of our sense of control and safety, and go to the places we would not go otherwise. We have to be willing to give the first gift and answer the first call, to push out past the limits of what we know and surrender our control, or the illusion of our control, and trust in God. If we are ready to follow, then let's push out into deep waters and have faith there in the deep. Amen. To spread our wings and fly. And so it is not enough to be set free. It is not enough for the jar to be removed, for the stake to be pulled from the ground. It is not even enough for the cocoon or the egg to be cracked open further for us. We need to dig deep into the faith, into the calling, into the courage that we have, so that we will have the strength to emerge and to spread our wings. Are you a flea or a bird? Are you tied down and stooped over, or are you proud and strong? Are you ready to dig deep, to find your calling, your center, your strength, and then use that faith to push through the crack in your shell, to break free of the cocoon of your own spinning? Stretch your wings and soar. Amen.